I have a friend who needs prayer, and I just want to let you know that if you could take at least 3 days this week and at least mention this person's name in prayer. I'm going to give you the name, but I really just want, you know, the Lord put on my heart, this person really needs prayer, and so I'm going to give you the name. His name is Eric Vaz, and I just, please, for 3 days this week, remember Eric Vaz in prayer. The Lord put it on my heart for him. He needs it. I walked up to him this morning, told him how much I love him. I'm praying for him. And I just believe the Lord's really got that boy impressed on my heart. And I just,
amen. Great.
We should be praying at least 3 times this week. Pray for that.
Yeah, I got it. Yes, sir.
I think the Lord will do something. I think the Lord will bless you for it. Anyway, we're going to start in the book of John, and I want you to turn to with me, if you would, also to Genesis 1. And, you know, I usually come up here and I have a full message typed out and such like that. And, you know, Lord, Amy picked up on it before I did a few weeks ago. She said, I really believe the Lord's trying to transition you out of this stage of your preaching and trying to bring you somewhere else. And of course, I'm a knucklehead. I have to fight it. The Lord saved the knucklehead Paul. He saved the knucklehead Dale Moore, you know. And so the Lord put on the heart. I was struggling with my messages and such. And so then I started talking to the pastor. He goes, oh, this is what I want you to do. He goes, I want you to pick 3 chapters in the book of John. And he goes, I want you to preach them verse by verse. Yeah, you know, I didn't give any lip or, you know, that's not who I am. I said, I'll do it. And so I just started doing it, and I think the Lord blessed me. I do have notes, but they're not notes. It's just I got little check marks of what verses to go where and such. So I have nothing written down. The Lord is going to lead this. That's all there is to it. There's something to this. It's part of training. And I'm not afraid of it. My whole life is transitioning right now. I mean, with Sunday school, I'm learning how to teach and not just preach and, you know, going to Amity and, you know, so there's a lot going on in my life right now. And if you think the Christian life is boring and there's nothing to do, just jump in and we'll see how boring it really is, because there's something to it. But anyway, I want to read, we're going to be going back and forth. I'm going to read John 1 through 5. John 1, 1 through 5, and it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And I just right off the bat, I have to say that other versions, they got that wrong. They don't say just He comprehended it not. They said that the darkness, I forgot the word they used. Anyway, and it made me think, my goodness, that doesn't even make any sense of why that, why they would put something like that in there. And it wouldn't have been a translation error. They had no clue. They tried to fit a word in there that made no sense of what this was talking about. You have to understand, when the Lord gave us His Bible, He meant it for us. Gail Riplinger says it the best. And Gail Riplinger says it the best. She says that God knew exactly what needed to be in this for us. If He wanted any interpretation or translation, He puts it right in the Bible for us. We don't have to worry about interpreting and so on and so forth. And so, what does it
there
say?
You go.
Yeah,
you
thank you. It says, let me put my glasses back on. I was going to do this, but
I'm getting old, are you?
I'm getting old, man. I can't believe it. I told my wife I can no longer read my Bible without glasses. Just can't do it. I used to be able to get away with it. Now I can't even see the word. So it is what it is. Now I'm just going to have to get used to it. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that had been made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Has not understood it. Let me tell you that what they're trying to say in there is that there is at one point where the darkness will understand the light.
Has not come.
Comprehend means it's just not going to get it. It's not going to comprehend. It's never going to understand it. But anyway, I just thought it was interesting what they use there. It says has not. And I don't think it ever will. And I'm going to show you the reason why. We all know that Jesus always has been. He was never created, but is the creator. And it says that he's always been with God. And I believe in the beginning, John was referring to this. After Satan was cast down and the earth was destroyed, and God creates the earth as we know it today. This is the beginning where the earth and man are created, and God gives the account of what happened. As man starts keeping the history, the beginning of what we know. So we see in John 1, it says, in the beginning. And I believe God was talking about in the book of Genesis, and I want to show you why I believe that. If we go, I want to go to read 1 through 5. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Now I'm going to go to Genesis 1. I want you to turn with me to Genesis 1. I want you to see here, I'm going to compare this here. Genesis 1, first book of the Bible. I'm sure everybody knows that though. John 1:3 says, all things were made by Him, and without Him, not anything that was made is made. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. And the earth was without form and void, and the darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. If Jesus is the Creator, then we know that John is talking about Him in Genesis 1. History was given to man in Genesis. Man was not alive before Genesis. Obviously, the earth was destroyed. Satan was cast down. So if Satan was cast down, the earth was the earth. It's floating. You guys heard Pastor talk about that many times. So we see that here in John. It says, in the beginning, and I believe God was talking about Genesis 1 when he started talking about in the beginning. Well, what beginning? There's many beginnings. There's the beginnings of the reigns of Jericho. What's his name? I can't pronounce his name. Yeah, Jeroboam. It says that in there. There's like 8 or 9 times it says in the beginnings in the Bible. And it gives sometimes different reigns of different kings and so on and so forth. So you really got to go back and look. Well, what is he talking about here? Well, he's talking about in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And then if you go to Genesis 1, now we're talking about the Creator here. Talking about the Creator. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I think John was trying to show everybody that Jesus Christ is not just Jesus Christ. He is also God. He's the Creator. In the beginning. Why would John want us to go back to in the beginning? Why would he want us to know in the beginning was the Word? Why would he want us to know that in the beginning the Word was there and that it was being created? But let me continue on because I can get myself all mixed up. John 1:4 says, and in Him was life, and that life was the light of all men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. God created the heaven and the earth. John 1:3 says, all things were made by Him, and without Him that nothing was made that was made. Nothing was made what that was made without Jesus Christ. Nothing. So we're seeing here that John's in the beginning, bringing you back. Let you know that Jesus was back in here too. Pastor said this morning, Jesus Christ's flesh was created, but not His spirit. He's always been. His soul's always been. Jesus Christ is not a created being. His flesh was that holy thing. That's what was the created thing. Not Jesus Christ. He's been since eternity. He is the creator. Without Him, it says that nothing was made. That was made. Well, what does it tell you about creation? Genesis 1, as creation as we know it today. Was there an earth before Genesis 1? Yes, there was one. Why? Because it says the earth was without form and void. So that means there was one before it got destroyed. That's how it had to be. So we're seeing here that John 1 is talking about creation, going back to Genesis 1. Okay, and it says that all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. John is bringing us back to Genesis and giving us an account of who Jesus is as the Creator. I believe John 1 is telling us who Jesus is as the Creator. He's letting us know not only is He the Word, but He's also the Creator. Why? Because all things that were made are made by Him. So not only is He fully God, but He's also the Word and He's the Creator. Many people, they don't get that. They just think that Jesus Christ is some man and some prophet, somebody that God sent down to take His place. Pastor said it perfect this morning. Imagine having a God that sent somebody else in His place. No, he laid down his life for us. The Creator, our Creator, died for us. He took care of the whole problem. He knew there was a problem with man. He knew that sin separated. Guess who took care of it? Him himself. He came down and died for his creation. That's not, he didn't send somebody else in his place. And I think that's a wonderful thing to think. The very one who formed me, the very one who made me, also died for me. He fixed the problem that was between me and God. He fixed that. He made that whole thing okay. And he became that sacrifice. And what a wonderful thing to have that. I mean, wonderful. And let me keep going here. It says, he's showing that Jesus is not only God, but he is the Word as well. John 1:10. Let me read John 1:10. What's it say? Get back to John 1:10. I tell you guys to hold your place and I lose mine. John 1:10 says, he was in the world and the world was made by him. Oh, excuse me, that's not what I was looking for. He was the Word as well. here we go, hang on.
National TV.
Yeah, buddy, you know it. How come? Oh, here we go, number 14, John 1:14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word of God. God, Jesus Christ, is the Word. He is the Word of God. You know, that's the one thing that I tried to stress on last week, is that Jesus Christ is God, and he's all-powerful. And the Bible in Hebrews 11, I think it says, is that he's the same today, yesterday, today, and tomorrow, that he never changes. He's the same forevermore. If he's always the same, then why would, and he's the Word of God, we just see that he is the Word became flesh, and if he's the Word, then why would it change? Why would it change? Jesus Christ doesn't change, and if he doesn't change and he is the Word, then why would the Word change? Well, I don't think it would change. I don't believe it would change. And so that's my standpoint. And I'm in another transition on that too. Intellectually, on this Bible, I'm just learning a whole slew of things. And so I ordered some books. I read up on the history of it and so on and so forth. And because I really want to know. Right now I have the confidence and I have the faith that this King James Bible is the Word of God because of what it's done to me, because of the power. Because I believe it's living. It calls it the quick. It calls it being quick. And that means it's living. It's a living Word of God. And that living Word of God, I'm just telling you now, has transformed me into something that I never in a million years thought possible. My father-in-law, Amy's dad, looked at me yesterday and goes, hair. He goes, you have hair. He goes, man, it makes you look good. I said, well, you know, it doesn't make me look as mean as, you know, he goes, oh, not. He goes, I really, really like your hair. You know, so just, you know, simple stuff, little stuff like that. And, you know, I'm Mr. Baldy, I'm Mr. Clean. But, you know, the Lord put on my heart, my wife said, gosh, I really like your hair, honey, so then I'll keep it. You know, give me a better standards with my wife. Happy wife, happy life. Anyway. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Notice how God created. He spoke his word. Examples, Genesis 1. I'm going to go to Genesis 1:1. Notice how he created. Let's see how God created the earth. It says here, Genesis 1:3. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. He spoke it. Did he not? Is that what this said? And God said. He spoke it. Well, go to Genesis 1, verse 5. And God called the light day, and the darkness called night. He called it. He spoke it. Genesis verse 6. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from waters. He spoke it. He spoke it into existence. He spoke it. And you know what he does? When he speaks his word, he says it won't return void. And it transforms things that weren't there, that thing, me. I'll use me as that earth that was without form and void. And he created that. His spoken word is what's transformed me into what I am today. It's not by anything that I do. It's by what he does. It's by his word that is changing me. It's changing my thoughts. It's changing my heart. And I thank God for it. It says, verse 8, I want to get verse 8 too, and it says, and God called the firmament. You see there again, he spoke again, and God called it. God said, God spoke, God said. That's what it says through the whole thing. He's the Word of God. He spoke it. He's spoken into existence. And so he's the Word. So you know what? He says, if you love me, keep my words. That's what he says. If you love me, keep my commandments. And you know, most people who are Christians forget to do that today. They don't pick up the Word of God and read it like they should. They don't do the things they should. But you know, he says, if you want to have, is it Psalm 119:9, whither all shall the young man cleanse his way? Taking heed to his word. Why? Because he left it for you. He gave it to you. That's what it's for. It's for to clean your life. Give you a new heart, new mind, new outlook on things. Jesus is the spoken word of God. John 1:14 says, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of his only begotten, the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. See that last part? Truth. Truth. He doesn't have to change his word to make it truth. It is truth. Amen. Why? Because he spoke it. It's done. It's over with. He doesn't have to change it into this or make it easier for this or do this. Instead, he's full of grace, which we know God's grace. We know it for those who are saved. But how come everybody forgets out the truth part? How come nobody wants to know the truth part? It says that God, he's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man. So we have to come to him with faith, knowing this is the truth. He's given it to us for the truth. He's given it to us for our purpose, for our good. His word. Full of grace and truth. And it says, in him was life, talking about Jesus the Creator, and the life was the light of all men. He's the light of all men. Genesis 2:7. Genesis 2:7. We turn there. Genesis 2:7 says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life and became a living soul. So we just see that Jesus is the life. He's the life to all men. He's the creator. He created them. Genesis 2:7 said that's what he did. He took us out of the dust of the earth and breathed life into us. That was Jesus Christ, the creator. He's the creator. That's the one John's talking about there. And he says, John 1:5, and the light shineth in the darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. Genesis 1:3-4. Let's go to Genesis 1:3-4. Why does that comprehend it? Let me just tell you this. Let me show you this in Genesis 1:3-4, and it says, and God said, let there be light, and the light was, and there was light, and God saw the light, and it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. It didn't comprehend it. The darkness couldn't comprehend the light. Why? Because God divided them. He divided them since the beginning of time. He divided them. That's why darkness can't comprehend it. Let me keep going. I got more to tell you on that. It says, God created the light in the beginning. God divided the darkness from the light. And John 1:5 says, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The dark can't comprehend light because God separated from the beginning of mankind. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians 6. I'm going to start in verse 14. 6:14. Go right down to verse 18. It says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord with Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with the infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not an unclean thing, and I will receive you. And will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. What communion do we have with darkness? None. If we're in Jesus Christ, that means we're in the light. God separated the light from the darkness in the beginning of time, and he still calls for us to be separate from the darkness now. He says, come out from among them. We have nothing in common with those who are living in darkness. At least we shouldn't, as Christians. We should not have anything to do with those who are living in darkness. And if we do have anything to do with them, maybe it's in the ministry. But as far as doing what they do, saying what they say, living the way they say, God told us back in Genesis that he separated that. And you know what? After salvation, he separates that again from you. Personally from you. Separates the light. I am in the light. The world is darkness. We are called to be separate from that thing. Yeah, I'm just telling you, God knew what he was doing in the beginning. You may not understand it right now. Go back and read what I'm telling you. Go back and read. There's a reason why he separates light from darkness. And the reason why he says that in 2 Corinthians is that we have nothing in common with it. We have nothing. Nothing with darkness. Nothing. I don't have anything in common with those who are serving Buddha or those who are out there serving Allah. I have nothing in common with them. Nothing. We don't have anything in common. They think we have stuff in common. I used to have Muslims and all that come to me and try to convince me that I have the same God and they have the same God as I have. They really, go ahead and read the Quran. I'm sure pastors read it or been into it a couple of times. Jesus Christ is right in their Quran, but he's there as a prophet and a man.
Right.
That's what's in there. That's what they're taught. That he's a prophet and a man. See, they leave the real God out of this thing. But they know of him. Their history that's in their Quran shows that Jesus Christ is who he is, but they see him as a man. They see him as a man. But anyway, I don't have anything in common with them. They have nothing in common with me. John 3:19 says, "And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil." God brought separation between us and darkness. He says, separate from the light. Because those who are in darkness, they love darkness. That's where they do their evil deeds. Look at what goes on in darkness. Look at the stuff that goes on in darkness. This is why God separated everything. Why? Because we have nothing to mingle with them. Darkness can't comprehend my life. I was talking to Pastor about this out in the hallway, and I just want you to know, you can see I'm treading on ground that I'm not used to, but I ain't afraid of it either. I'll stand up here and preach this thing just like the Lord gave it to me. And you know what? I have no clue what I'm doing up here verse by verse. But you watch. You watch what the Lord does with it. But if you have any sense, you'd be praying for me right now.
Amen.
You're praying for me right now. That's what you need to be doing, praying for me. But I'm just telling you this right now. God has separated us from darkness. Why? The darkness can't comprehend what's going on with Dale Morey. People think I'm a fanatic nutcase. That's what they think of me. You know why? Because darkness can't comprehend it. Darkness can't comprehend what goes on with a Christian person. When Jesus Christ stepped inside your life and things started changing, they have no clue what that is. Why? Because their darkness can't comprehend it. Just can't comprehend it. You know, that's why the Lord says, come out from among them. Be separate. He's got something better. What is it? It's called the light. I know I was finally happy to see the light at the end of my tunnel. I'm happy with God, what God is doing in my life. I'm not afraid. I don't run from it anymore. You know, my wife asked me, or somebody, maybe somebody else asked me, they go, aren't you going to be afraid to get up there and preach it verse by verse? No. Because what's worse is going to happen? I'm going to make a mistake and then have to go back and correct it? Then I'll really learn? That's the worst that could happen to me. Something good might come out of this. You know, the guy sitting there, he's Shumai, I think his name is. He's cursing David. I mean, absolutely cursing him. Tell him how much of a bloody man he is. And one of David's soldiers says, hey, man, should I go over there? Let me lop this dude's head off. Let me take this dog's head off. David said, no, leave it. You know why? Because David said, maybe God will bless me out of this. Maybe God will bless me out of this.
Amen.
We just go ahead and do what I'm going to do. And maybe God will bless me out of this. I have to learn. You're looking at somebody who for 40 years could have gave a rip about a Bible. And now God's got me standing up in front of people. And I know you guys. You're all my friends and stuff. You try coming up here right now and doing this. I'm just telling you, man.
A lot of your comfort.
That's right. You know what I always tell my wife? Most people are stuck where they are, especially my beautiful wife who I love dearly. I said, you know what? Get out of your comfort zone. The Lord's got me out of my comfort zone. And if I don't say something right, it's not because I'm a heathen. Maybe I just missed something and you can show me. Do I ever deny anything you try to teach me? No, I do not. If I say something wrong or that's not biblical, you come up and share it with me and we'll take care of it. I don't have an issue with that. How else am I going to learn? But I'm out of my comfort zone right now. I'm all right with it. I like being sweaty and nasty. I'm just kidding. John 3:19 says, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light. John 1:5 says, why? John 1:5, let me turn there. John 1:5. I want to go to John 1:5. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not, because they can't understand. Listen, I have family members who look at me and Amy like we're just, I mean, like we're a 10-headed dragon walking around. You know, and then we try to explain things to them, and you know, her, Amy's dad tried to correct me, thinking that I'm going out and I'm preaching at the family. I said, Jim, that's not what I'm doing to them. I said, they asked me a question. Luke doesn't wear shorts. It was almost 90 degrees one day. And his aunt asked him, Luke, why aren't you wearing shorts? Now, on Luke's own, he changed that. He didn't want to wear shorts on his own. I didn't tell him that. It was coming to the point where I was going to tell him, no more shorts. But he made that decision on his own. So his aunt asked him, well, Luke, how come you don't have shorts on? He goes, well, I just don't wear them anymore. And she looked at me funny. I said, if I tell you out of the King James Bible, will you believe me? Will you believe what my conviction is on nakedness and so on and so forth? Would you believe me if I try to tell you all that? She just looked at me like, no. But they look at us like that, like we have 10-headed dragons. Why? Because they don't understand it. That darkness they're in, they can't comprehend the light of Jesus Christ. It doesn't understand it. It has not been shown to them yet. And you know what, though? That's what God, he sends us out for, to be a light. To be a light. You know, this world is already dark enough with evil. And it needs some good Christians who are going to be ready to stand up and be the light. Let them see what Jesus Christ has done for you. I know, again, my father-in-law asked me, well, why do you go out and do this? Are you getting paid and such? I said, no. Here's my payment. Is that the hope that just maybe one will see the hope of Jesus Christ and that they'll get in. That's my hope. Amy, what drives you, you think? It's the hope that maybe one person, one single person might get it.
Amen.
That's why I do what I do. Just tell them. That's why I do what I do. Why? Because I want them to be able to comprehend it. I want them to be able to understand it. I want them to be able to know this. There's more to life than what they know. Let me move on. Let's take a look at some verses to see why men love darkness. Romans 12:1. Romans 12:1. You know, I got to read something. Zechariah 12:1. You could just, I'm just going to read this really quick. I wanted to share this. Pastor preaching this morning. And the Lord showed me this. It's Zechariah 12:1 says, and the burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens and layeth the foundation of the earth, and formeth the spirit of man within him. That right there was talking about Jesus Christ. Pastor went on to let you know that he was talking about Jesus Christ there. But the very one who went on this cross was the very one who formed me and everything about me. He knows. He knew what it was going to take to open my eyes. He knew what it was going to take. And it was the glory. The Bible calls it the glorious light of the gospel to shine upon them. And that, I'm just telling you right now, it shined upon me. And it finally opened my eyes. I could finally see for the first time in my life. I could see that darkness. But you understand what it took? It took the light. It took the light. And that light made me to be able to comprehend when I was in that darkness. When you're in darkness, you can't comprehend it. You need the glorious gospel. It's a miracle that God does. A miracle to show you that kind of thing. Anyway, so Romans 12:1. That's where I was going. Romans 12:1. You guys are probably all there. I know you're tired and sleepy and like, what is this guy doing? But just bear with me for another 6 or 7 minutes. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you... Oh, excuse me. I'm in the wrong 121. I am in the wrong place. Romans 121. Whew. I'm actually starting to have fun. Yeah. Romans 121. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Their foolish heart was darkened. That is what we are born. That is our sin nature. We are born with our hearts darkened. And we need Jesus Christ to come in and shine that light in our hearts to make us go, oh, that's what I am? That's separation from darkness and light. God knew that had to happen in the beginning of time. Because he knew already, he could see that the earth was already without form and void. There was nothing there. It was just a black hole. And then he started speaking things into existence, which is a light. And you know what it did? It chased that darkness away. because he couldn't comprehend it. I'm just telling you now, when Jesus Christ comes in your heart and shines his light on your heart, that's what it does. It changes that. It chases that darkness away. Their foolish hearts are darkened. Why? Because that's what they love, the evil deeds. Tell me this, for those of you who know, how much easier it is to do wrong in the dark. I'd say this, that 99% of the crimes that I committed were all done at night. At least, yeah, I'm almost positive. Because in darkness, under the cover of darkness, it's easier to do evil than in the light. Even in the natural light, in the sunlight, in a bright and shiny day, people are less likely to commit a violent crime during the day. They do, but they're more likely going to do it at night, in the darkness. And so, hey, I'm just saying, God had to separate that, and he separates us now, because that man, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, were unthankful, and their heart, foolish hearts were darkened. Ephesians 4:18. I might close with this one here. Ephesians 4:18. Ephesians 4:18. You guys are probably thinking, he ain't going to put that on the website. Make a bet. Listen to it. It'll be there tonight.
Yes, sir.
Ephesians 4:18. Yeah. I know. I'm out of my comfort zone, and I'm struggling a little bit, but really, I'm having a good time. I'm just, you know. Ephesians 4:18 says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of their blindness of their heart. There again, you see, the darkness is present with the blindness of their heart. This is why they can't comprehend it not. This is why God has to come in there and shine his light on the hearts of those people. I told my Sunday school class today, I said, most people who've been around for a while, who's reading the Word of God, they can go in there and they can see what it means, what it takes to be a bishop, a pastor, okay? They claim to be pastors anyway. I won't even get into that today. But to see what it is to be a bishop, you know, husband and wife, and giving hospitality, and so on and so forth. But here's what it says. Here's one of the big ones. I think it's the fourth or fifth one down. It says patient. Patient. A preacher, a pastor, an evangelist, a Sunday school teacher has to be patient. Why? Because all we can do is plant. All we can do is water. And God has to give the increase. How does he do that? By the light of the glorious gospel. What's that going to do? It's going to scatter that darkness. It's going to scatter that darkness where them people are sitting because they can't comprehend it not. But when that gospel light shines on them, bam, there's something revealed to them they've never seen before.
Right.
And see, a man or a woman, Sunday school teachers, has to be patient with that person. You go ahead and try to shove something down their throat, I'm just going to tell you right now, all you're going to do is keep them in darkness. And the only thing you're going to scatter away is them. You won't do it. You won't get what the Lord Jesus Christ wants them to be. Anyway, so I'm going to be done this week for here. Next week I'm going to pick up, you know, right here where I left off. And I'm going to finish the first few verses and, you know, pray for me. But please, more than pray for me, pray for Eric Vannis. You know, try to get his name out there at least 3 times this week for yourself personally. Personally, you can come up here and look at my list. I'm not patting myself on the back, but I pray for that boy every single day. And I believe that we should be doing that for him. He needs some help right now. I'm not going to go ahead and put their business out there, but he needs some prayer right now. I believe God put that on my heart to tell you guys that for him. And I thank you guys for listening to me.